You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
I'm on the air, Joe. We were talking about Medicare, which we're not allowed to talk about, so we're not going to talk about
it
anymore.
Why can't we talk about Medicare?
Because
you talk about Social Security.
Because no, Pastor Tom, you can talk about
Medicare. Because Pastor Tom isn't old enough for it yet, even though he looks like he's old enough. But, you know.
No, but I thought there was still a prohibition against discussing that topic. There's nothing wrong
with
that topic. It's not politics.
No, we're not supposed to be political.
That's not political.
But it is kind of.
Well, anything is political.
Like Bernie was in favor of
Well, let's not talk about people. Yeah.
See, I'm
No, we can't talk about him.
Can't talk about that.
I'm not talking about
him. Because, see, that becomes political.
No, I don't even know who Bernie is. We're talking about Madoff, right?
Yes. You can talk about Bernie
Madoff. All you can do is talk about the various proposals that have been out there. And my, how you feel
my,
about
my, one of my soapboxes is, I think it's discrimination that in America, when you hit 65, you get Medicare. Now, even though you've paid in all your life while you're working, that's
you've
okay.
You've earned it,
But
Joe.
If you're 64 and 11 months and 20 days, you got a $6,000 or $8,000 deductible, and you might be paying $1,000 or $1,200 a month for health insurance.
Yes.
And you may not have enough as much coverage as you have with Medicare just because you're not old enough by one day or one week or one month or one year.
Right.
Joe, I feel strongly that everybody in America.
If you're 15 and three quarters, you still don't have a driver's license.
Right.
Well, there are points in one's life where you have arrived at a point of achievement.
You think getting old is an achievement? I think it's just because you didn't
die. In this
die.
Day, it's
well,
an achievement.
You got to remember what it was all about.
How smart do you
place?
Have to be
but,
to stay alive?
But you got
you
people
just keep
that
but it was there
they,
as
they've
a
worked all
net.
Their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know.
But if you're getting a driver's license, I didn't have to work at all.
You don't get a touchdown if you only get down to the 3-yard line.
My point is, folks, don't listen to Pastor Tom on this. Listen to Joe Martech.
Don't Everybody. Listen to Martech. I'm in Pastor Tom's corner on this one. This is Vince Razzino talking.
What?
Yeah, I think that the whole point of this was, you're forgetting what the point of it was. It
Which
was a safety net for people.
Medicare.
Yeah, and Social Security. They were safety nets.
And what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
But why?
But when you start introducing the concept of those that have done better in life should pay more or get less, then I disagree with that.
But I think you should pay a lot more because you're a CPA. CPA should have a special tax on them.
See? That's why. Yeah, that's why.
Oh, and
financial
Wait a minute.
Advisors.
And mortgage brokers should have a double tax
financial
on that.
Advisors should be even more.
I think we are taxed double.
Triple.
Plenty.
1-888-221-8990.
I'm glad Mike has come to save us from all of this.
I know, but those of you that...
I feel like a referee.
I know, but you should. But those of you that are regular listeners know that it's your responsibility to write this phone number down next to your phone, so you should be calling us and getting involved in this discussion because
Absolutely.
That's what we do. 888-221-8990. Team Martech started doing radio shows back in about 2004. Before Francis and Jean, the hurricanes, that's how we used 2004. Concept was simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm called a stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses. My job is to make people money. Two, I could not answer most of the questions people asked me that had things to do without money. As an example, somebody says, hey, Joe, I need to get a mortgage. What should I do? And I said, well, go talk to somebody. That's the wrong answer. You're supposed to know somebody because we trust you to give us the right person. Is
and
that fair?
Who would that be, Joe?
So then, a few years ago, because of Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's also part of, and she's might supposed to be here today.
Yeah, she was at on the morning show, right?
Yeah, but she said she's going to be here. But, you know, she gets sidetracked on occasion.
Once she starts getting in the routine, that's hard to pull away.
I know. Some years ago, when the recession hit, the subject of real estate became a monster subject. The subject of mortgages became even a bigger monster because of packaging of mortgages, mortgage-backed securities, and non-qualifying. And if you could fog a mirror, you could get a mortgage. And all kinds of abuses occurred that created a monster, monster, monster recession. So in our group, in my infinite wisdom, excuse me, forget the word infinite, in my limited wisdom, I felt we needed to have certain members to answer the questions for clients of mine. One, a CPA. So Vince Rosino, CPA, also a forensic CPA, also a college professor at one point.
But not at Columbia,
but I wouldn't bring that up. Was a critical part because questions with taxes and what is going on with Obamacare and all the rest of these different deductions and penalties, et cetera, questions that come up constantly. Number two, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, monster person, important because homeowners insurance. How many times, Mike, have we seen homeowners insurance ruin somebody's ability to get a mortgage?
Yeah, what most people don't realize is, you know, homeowners insurance is normally escrowed in your mortgage payment.
Right.
So that influences how much your payment's going to be.
Right.
We qualify you on the amount of your payment, not on the amount of the mortgage loan.
Right.
So from time to time, if your insurance becomes unaffordable, it could disqualify you from getting a mortgage. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, Dan has saved some of my transactions by getting lower premiums for my customers.
I was at a client's house this morning, and it's not something I normally bring up, but the son was there helping mom. Mom's not so young anymore. And they said, hey, we're going to need to withdraw some money to pay for this homeowner's insurance. And I said, how much is it? She said, it's about $6,000. Now, it's a nice home. Nice home. Maybe 3,500 square feet. It's on the water in Port St. Lucie. But it's not a palace, you know, but it's a nice home. And I said, gee, that just to me, in the layman, it just seems a little bit stiff, the premium. So anyway, what I did, I immediately gave him Dan's phone number and said, you know, call Dan and let his office quote it for you. So that's what we did. So Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, has only been around for 37 years and only has roughly 100 companies under his umbrella. And in my opinion, he is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. Why? 37 years in experience, all these different companies. And he has high integrity. He's credible. He does the right thing for people. Which
I have a Dan success story this week. I had a senior citizen. She's interested in a reverse mortgage. She came into the office. And we don't know if the reverse mortgage is going to work because of the amount of equity in the property or whatnot. But what we did was I took a look at her, you know, the insurance that she's paying. And she was paying like $3,700 in homeowners insurance. So let's do this immediately. Let's shop that with Dan. And Dan was able to reduce that insurance to $1,700.
Well, only $2,000 difference.
That's all.
So that was a significant savings. So even if we can't help her with the reverse mortgage, at least we saved her
saved her some money.
Absolutely.
We just had an old rabbi come in.
Yeah.
Well, no, excuse me.
No, he's not that old.
That's right. I keep forgetting.
He's younger than you.
He's younger than me, which really upsets me, Alan. It doesn't make me happy at all. Alan Love is ex-prosecuting attorney, obviously an attorney, also a financial advisor, a born-again Christian, a Jew for Jesus. Am I giving you enough platitudes there?
Thank you very much. I'm just happy to be back with you. It's quite a day today. Records all across Wall Street today.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which worries me to no end because I'm looking for Alan Greenspan to jump in and talk about exuberance.
You know, what do they call that, exuberance?
Exceeding exuberance.
Yeah, it's a little bit overpriced, but what happened is the Trump bounce is continuing, and because our president-elect is a very, very visible person and with everything he's doing, and he's trying, I think he's putting a smile on a lot of faces, except some liberals, which we won't talk about, but the bottom line is the market's on fire right now, which you and I both, Alan, no, and Mike and Vince, the PE ratios are getting blown out of the water.
It's called irrational exuberance.
Irrational.
Yeah, that's what they call
irrational.
That.
Irrational exuberance. Right. Way to remember that was pretty good. Anyway, even though it makes clients extremely happy that have money in the market when the market goes up like this, when they'll get very unhappy if the market takes a 10 or 20% correction,
mm-hmm.
which it very well could and probably will.
It could very well do it, but there's one big advantage today that wasn't there when I started in the securities market as a licensed representative in 1985, and that is there are so many tools out there that you can protect your portfolio for the most part against risk. It doesn't guarantee that you won't lose money. But like in a big crash like we had in 08, 09, instead of losing 70% of your portfolio, you might lose 10 or 15% because you put protection on.
You're absolutely right, Alan. The problem is that is for the very sophisticated investor. Well, you want to get in things like options. You want to hedge your investments and things like that. Yes, you can.
You can
protect yourself.
Well, one thing is... That is why because you're your best own money manager, you have to do your own due diligence to find somebody with a track record who knows these tools, who knows how to use them, and who will help you to protect your portfolio.
Absolutely.
However, and those people are out there.
I mean. If you don't have those people, you could be up the creek.
But there are what's called stops.
Yes,
you don't need to be in options. You don't need to have a credit line. You don't need to be sophisticated. You buy a share of stock for $10, and if your broker is paying attention, he'll say, "Hey, what if it goes down to $9? Do you want to sell? Lose 10%?" And if you say yes, he can put a stop in that it may not sell at exactly $9, but it'll get very, very close because they catch it on the way down and a computer does it. So there is protection.
But that's more limiting losses, Joe, as opposed to making money?
No, there's trailing stops too where you can lock in a lot of your profits.
Point is, and you can change them from time to time. You can change that stop. You also have a limit on the other side where the limit says, hey, if I go up 10%, sell it automatically again, or 20 or 30. Right now, what's happening with oil becomes a pretty big subject. I've got some clients that bought some oil in the 70 cent range, which is now at $1. That's a monster change in profit per share. Okay. Now what happens? Greed usually sneaks in about now. Say, well, wait till it goes to $1.50. I'll just double my money rather than stopping it. Point I'm trying to say, there are things that can be done to protect people. So that's just the subject.
Yeah.
We now have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart.
I heard you. I was in traffic, but I texted Mike. I figured if anybody's going to look at their phone, it would be Mike.
But he didn't. But he didn't really look at it.
No, he didn't.
I just turned it down.
Oh, then that was me dinging.
So what happened? Nobody's ever said you were dinging in your whole life.
It was me. I'm a dinger.
I know.
Oh, yeah, there's the text.
Yes, always remember, if you're on, I'll text you.
So the group consists of Vince Rosino, CPA, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney. The concept we didn't mention Greg to this point, that often when I first meet a new suspect or prospect, I talk about a will or a trust because I figure the cart and the horse should be in the proper order. Now, that doesn't mean I always am successful at getting them to take care of business as I see it, but I feel it's my responsibility to stir the pot. So the group consists of Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's only been in real estate since 1903. Oh, I can't forget.
That's right. That's
Your sister.
That was a grandmother.
Was it
1978.
And then she knows every street, I think, in Martin and St. Lucie County.
Remember, I wanted 12 children. I gave birth to two towns.
Two towns. They have grown a little bit since you got here.
You know, it's true. And I look around sometimes, Joe, and I go, oh, my God, where did all these people come from?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Only four of them came from Maryland. You have to get a green card to leave Maryland, don't you?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. And I got to tell you, what Mike has done for our clients, for our people, our listeners, has just been staggering. What I get a kick out of is the mortgage business, which we take for granted, us sitting here, that people walk into a bank, they make an application, sometimes they give a deposit. 2-3 weeks later, the bank comes back and says, no, or They say, we need this, 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 and this, or might take, we or goodbye. Whereas Mike will tell you in 15 minutes where you stand, because the main thing is going is credit today. And once he knows your credit score and then what your income is, he can give you a ballpark quickly. And if you don't qualify, he may say, hey, you've got some problems that you need to correct. I can work with you and help with you. Maybe in 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever it takes, we'll get you cured so you can go out and buy a house.
That's a good part about it, Joe, because there's so many clients that I've had that have gone to lenders and say, I can't, nobody's going to give me a loan. And they'll go to Mike and he'll be able to help them.
One of my favorite ones is a client of mine who's a retired banker. And she's not a young person. And she says, Joe, I'm going to sell my house and buy another house. And I said, well, you should call Mike. She goes, oh, no. I know the banking business. I was in it forever and ever. Don't you worry about it. I'll get my own. Well, 2 months later, she calls me up. She says, Joe, you still got that Mike guy's phone number?
It's like a hairdresser. Their hair might look horrible. They can go to somebody else.
I've always called her Aunt Phil. I said, Phil, what happened? She goes, well, I signed a note for my nephew, and he didn't pay. So they turned me down.
And they don't spend a lot of time with you to educate you, to put you on the right track, and help to set you up for getting a mortgage.
They don't normally. That's
the problem.
But tell them about co-signing, though. People do not understand. They think if they co-sign that they're not responsible, but they are responsible.
No, you learn the hard way.
Yeah, when you're a co-signer, you're 100% responsible for that loan.
Yeah.
And that could affect your ability to qualify for a loan of your own down the road.
Then we start getting into things like Social Security. Then we get into things called 401ks and solo 401ks. And then we get into starting a business, stopping a business. What entity should we put that business in? On many occasions over the years, we've had people, clients of mine, clients of Vince, that have said, hey, I'm thinking about buying this business. And you know, most times when you want to buy a business, you're looking at it through rose-colored glasses, and the people selling it to you are looking through even rosier colored glasses. And oftentimes the rose gets in the way of reality. But if you go to a person who has no vested interest one way or another, they're going to look at it objectively. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Because there's a number of things involved, Joe. It's not just the type of entity that you want to put it into, but it's also if you're going to buy a business, more importantly, it's how you allocate purchase price, what that means for future tax benefits, how to negotiate with the seller if you're on the buy side as to how to allocate that purchase price because you're in adverse tax position. So you need to be able to have somebody who's professional enough to know the difference and be able to negotiate it fairly for
you. Other things could follow with a business. I think people don't understand if you take their name and their actual corporation with them. Some people don't realize what can follow with those. They think you're absolutely right with some of these things, but there could be some debts that are out there that you don't realize. Well, I'll give you a
perfect example is buying assets versus buying the stock of a company. When you buy the stock of a company, you're buying everything, lock, stock, and barrel. That means all their assets, all their liabilities, present and known and unknown. So normally you try to stay away from those assets. Stock purchase deals. You try to do an asset purchase deal. And when you do the asset purchase deal, what I was talking about earlier comes into play because then how do you allocate? How much money do you put into each one of those assets? Cash is easy because cash is cash is cash, but everything else not so easy. It's a negotiation sometimes. It's a valuation issue sometimes, but you need a professional to help you. Absolutely. I would suggest you get a professional to help you.
Aren't some parts of a purchase subject to depreciation and some parts are not? Some parts can be expensed and some parts need to be
depreciated. Well, the way it works, Joe, is you allocate to the things you can allocate to, whether it's cash, as I said, is cash, but you got receivables. What's the net value of the receivables? Mm-hmm. You got inventories. What are the values of the inventories? You may have other assets. You might have patents, trademarks, things like that. And then whatever's left after you deduct liabilities is called goodwill.
Yeah, boy.
And goodwill is amortizable.
Yeah.
It's 15 years amortizable, but you need to consider that too when you're buying because you want to put it into things that turn around more quickly. You don't want to wait 15 years to get your tax deductions. You want to get them sooner.
But there's also another minor little tiny thing called balance sheets.
Well, that's what we're talking about. It's the balance sheet. It's all your assets and liabilities and how they're valued. And when you're buying a business, it's very, very important that you
and
deal with these.
A lot of people, I had a brilliant, brilliant client, 10 aeronautical patents. I mean, just really a brilliant guy. But if you talked money, he glazed over. It just nothing sunk in. So what I'm trying to say, oftentimes when we're looking through these rose-colored glasses, you go to somebody who has experience in this and knows how to look at these things. You know, now this is a hard thing to imagine, but not everybody that sells a business is honest. Can you imagine that?
I've never heard of anything like that.
That's unheard of.
They always tell the truth. There's always, never two books.
Of course. So what happens is
he's got three books. One's the Bible.
Yeah, right. So what happens is very often people say, well, hey, I don't show all of this. I don't do this and I don't do that. And you go, uh-huh. So you're violating the law, first of all. And that's what this makes me feel better about buying your business. So you just have
to. We deal with that in the mortgage business all the time. You have a self-employed borrower that comes in. And they show you their tax returns, but then they turn around and tell you, this is not really what I make.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
So that's why we have to verify these things with the IRS and make sure that these tax returns they give us are the ones on file with the IRS.
That's one issue, is whether they've given you a legitimate copy of the tax return. The other issue is what they're reporting to the government. Exactly. Is it the real thing? Is the real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got half your business in cash and you're not reporting those things,
I always tell people, do you want me to turn around and tell a government entity like FHA or VA that you're doing this?
No, I didn't say that. You know, point I'm trying to say.
Understory changes.
You need to get objective outside people to take a look at things in order to make the proper decision. And very often, listen, we look about small business people in Florida, only 90% fail. You know, it's not a big ratio. No. 9 out of 10.
No.
Why? Well, oftentimes they don't go into it properly. They don't have.
I think most of it is poor management. I'll tell you.
It's all part of it.
If
you go in with these rose-colored glasses and you don't pay attention to what you should be paying attention to and you buy out of emotion, which a lot of people do.
But they're not real business people. There's a lot of people that don't know how to run their business.
Of course.
I mean, and it's horrible. I get in there and just want to squeeze them and say, please.
That's probably number two reason. Yeah. Number one reason they fail. Undercapitalization.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. They just don't go in with enough money. They don't anticipate things. And so as soon as they get into their first crunch, then they're scrambling. Where can I get money from? Yeah. The bank doesn't want to allow
it.
Restaurant's a perfect example. Nobody wants to lend to them.
Look how many restaurants started. Even the one in downtown Stewart where now they're going to put in those apartments. How many little restaurants where the wine bar was?
Yeah.
How many restaurants went in
there? Well, there was one successful one there.
The hamburger one?
Way back before that. The original only real bar you could smoke in at the whole nine yards.
Well, you mean the ABC liquor? No. Which one are you talking about? I mean Triangle. That's what I meant.
Very good. Boy, that was tough. The Triangle was called the Triangle.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was a very successful.
I passed it once or twice.
I was in there once. I think once or twice, and then I smelled like cigarettes for the next month.
You know, I don't think I've ever been in there.
Well, you'd remember.
Unless I went with you. I've never been with you up there. I don't think so
because I mean, once you go in at one time, if you're not a smoker, you're a smoker. You know, so that kind of sticks to you like glue for a good while, and that you get cured. But anyway,
hey Vince. Now, as we approach the end of the year, there's a little bit of an education I got myself, and just by doing a little research, and that's a 179 depreciation expense.
Oh yes.
So
well,
if you need to buy some equipment for your business, is now the best time?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's one of the number one things that you can do to minimize your taxes if you need to buy equipment is to buy it before the end of the year. The current rule is up to $500,000 of acquisitions could be written off depending on income.
That means not depreciating. I mean,
not depreciating. 100% depreciation in the year you buy it.
Right.
If you meet the qualifications, you must have income to offset it against that. If not, it will carry over. In fact, I sometimes prefer to do it that way because then you can use it the next year if you have income enough to absorb it in the second year. Whereas if you elect to go the depreciation route, you're stuck with the depreciation route.
So if you have to buy a computer or a printer or even a vehicle,
now's the time to do it.
December is a big month for that.
Absolutely. Right. And besides that, another thing you want to look at, I thought you were going to mention the 401ks and so on, because another thing you want to look at is for those of you who are looking to put money, if you have an extremely good year and you're looking to put money away in a pension plan, now's the time to do it before the end of the year, because many of the 401ks, you have to have them established before the end of the year.
I just funded mine yesterday.
There you go.
Thanks to you.
Now,
thank you.
401ks, they have different rules than an IRA. An IRA, you got all the way till April 15th, do you not?
On an IRA, correct. On an IRA, you can make that contribution up to the time you file your tax return.
Yeah, but not a 401k.
No. 401ks, no.
But the company contribution can go in.
Oh, yes. After year end, you can make the contribution after the year end. for the year.
For the company on behalf of the
employees. Of the employees.
But you have to have the plan established before the end of the year, and that's really what it comes down to.
Rules. Hey, you know, there are rules for everything, are there not, Alan?
That is so true.
Yep. Yep. So when I look
well, that's what it is. That's why you have to be 65, Joe, to get Medicare.
I like that.
I heard that on there. You know, my friend, Jean, that was 100, she said she felt she shouldn't have to pay any taxes at all and shouldn't have to pay on anything.
Well, that's her opinion. And well, she was very convicted. She's very convicted in her opinions.
I know she was. And she used to live across the street from Joe.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is that, you know, you were saying about 65.
Yeah.
She was feeling the same thing when you reach your 80s and 90s and 100. You really shouldn't have to pay out.
At some point, you know, you've earned the right to pay nothing.
What she,
that was her
she
opinion.
She earned a right.
But this little.
I think she's right.
Well, hey, we're not.
I do too.
We don't disagree with what she said.
She's already gone.
The closer I get to that point, the more I like it.
So you're making your rules as they go along.
No, not at all.
He'd like to.
No, I'm trying to make it equitable for every American.
Yeah, right.
Especially
if they're 63 or 4.
Oh, that's really
well, strange. Listen, you know, when you get to be that ripe old age, you've earned a lot.
That's what she felt. And she was right. She'd been paying all her life.
Hey, let me tell you, there was not a harder worker person alive other than you and her. That woman, did she drop dead in the yard?
No, she did not. And that's where she wanted to die.
Because she worked every day outdoors. She never quit working.
And she walked everywhere. She was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
The only time she went downhill is when somebody took her in their house to take care of her. She's gone immediately.
That's too bad.
You don't do that.
Well, she's up with the Lord now.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. We got a CPA here. We have a mortgage broker here. We got a realtor. We got a financial advisor. We have an attorney financial advisor, ex-rab. No, you were never an ex-rabbi.
No.
You should have been. Anyway.
A born-again
ex. Oh, should have been, could have been ex-rabbi. Speaking of which, we got a caller. We'll just take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. This is Patty. Hey, Vince. It's Patty
Kobasa.
How are you?
Hey, Patty. How are you? Did you get my email?
I did.
Oh, good.
I did.
Wonderful.
My question is, my boss has the retirement. I think it's a simple IRA that's set up that they will contribute. So I want to do something before the end of the year. But at what age can you just keep contributing, or is there a cutoff at some point where you can't put into that anymore, but you have to start taking out? I'm confused.
Yes. Once you're 70 and a half, you have to start taking out, and you're limited at that point. You can't put any more money in.
Unless
you can put money into potentially. No, I don't even think you can do that.
Every once in a while, it depends how a 401k is chartered, which I learned this last year. There are exceptions to the rule which allow people to keep contributing and not take out, but only on 401ks that are company-sponsored.
Company-sponsored,
yeah. Yeah, they're not.
If you're still working, you've been there for a long time.
You're
right, Joe.
Yeah, I have a gentleman who works with us, and they set up the same thing.
No, I think you're far from it, Patty.
And Patty, it may not work if it's not a 401k, if it's a SEP or a simple.
Or yeah, no, it's not going to work.
Yeah, those rules are different. But that.
All right, well, I think this setup is a simple, like a cafeteria plan kind of thing, where you put in. No, okay. Well, anyway, it comes out before taxes. So,
yes. Yeah.
But it's stupid for me not to be participating in this if they're going to contribute.
That's absolutely right.
I will tell you, when they any time if you put a dollar in and they put a dollar in, that's called 100% gain right that day. And I like
free
that.
Money. Yeah.
So anyway, so at the end of I need to put something in there for this year.
Okay.
So they'll just match up to whatever they match, and that's it.
Yeah, the beauty part about the simples is there's a much higher level of contribution allowed to you. I think it's about $12,500, I think, is the cap on that.
Yep.
So you can put a lot more money in on the simples than you can on a regular IRA if you took it out on your own. And also, they match. They're required to match on the simples. I think one every 3 years. There's a limitation there. I've got to check the rule on it. But they're required to match at some point.
Now, so they're not required to match on a 401k?
No.
No, but they are on a simple. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah, they do match on this.
Yeah.
All right,
you've
answered my question. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Same to you. Speak to you soon, Patty.
Thanks for calling, Patty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-221-8990. You know, that's something that you almost never hear about. It's a simple. See, what happens, folks, the government has like 6 or 8 or 10, and I don't remember how many, designations for retirement plans where money can be put aside while you're working, and they're tax deferred, meaning you don't pay tax on them when you put them in. Yep. And depending on how it's set up, well, like Mike, the solo, almost $60,000 a year.
About 59. If you're over 50 years old, you're up to $59,000. If you have W-2 income.
Well, I think you can contribute up to $24,000 individually, and then your company can match 25%.
20% of your compensation. Of your compensation. Your W-2 compensation.
Right. So I mean,
if you own the company, you can do it.
Well, you have to own the company, and it could only be you or your spouse as employee.
You
have to own it, right?
On W-2
well,
income.
As an example, Vic, you would qualify because you're an independent broker. As a realtor, right. You know, you don't own the company. You don't have physical employees. It's you. Now, if you had 6 employees underneath you, you got a problem.
Now, what's an employee? Somebody that
is
on your payroll.
No, but I mean payroll. We have independent contractors.
No, they're not employees.
Although
certain governmental entities might consider them to be employees.
See,
honestly,
that's where,
but realtors, it's for different purposes.
Clerical employees is an employee. A realtor working on commission, different story. Now, where the government starts to get excited about that is if you have to do floor time, you're demanded to do 6 hours a day or whatever. All of a sudden, they start to look at things a little differently. You know, the wrinkle, it's just one of those wrinkles that the government, fun and games. But the rule is, for most people that are, quote, self-employed, that don't have employees, that solo.
Just the solo part, yeah.
Is a really good
thing.
But
if they don't, and they have employees, Joe, I have a case right now I'm going through, is that they had a simple plan. The employer had an extremely good year, probably about $100,000 more than the year before.
Uh-huh.
He was limited with the simple, is what he could put in. And so we're undergoing a conversion now from a simple to a 401k, which would then allow him to put more money in.
Yeah. Yeah. Got another call. We'll take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
How you doing? My name's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. We can just fine. Thank you.
Okay. I have a question. My son, he's a lot younger than I am. And he's got a 401k. It doesn't have a lot of money in it, but I'm curious as to whether he could take and convert that 401k into something tangible like, gold or silver.
Good question. Here's what happens. In a 401k, Vince could tell you, I could tell you, Mike, I'm sure, any of us. The employer has an agreement with whoever sets that up, and it has X number of investment allowed inside of that 401k. Now, if I was your son, I would go back to whoever is the agent for that 401k and tell that agent that he wants to buy gold or silver, if that's what he wants. And you can't normally buy silver or gold that you can hold in your hand, but you can buy shares in gold, which is basically the same thing. Only you have to have in these systems a custodian, because if you're holding it in your hand, government doesn't know that you're playing
with
it.
You could have disposed of it.
Yeah. Well, you can liquidate it without paying the tax. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
that's the problem. Yeah. And you may not report that.
Exactly.
So what I'm trying to say is, in a 401k, I've not seen personally one that has gold available in it, but I'm not saying they don't. So your son just needs to check it out. Now, also, that particular 401k may allow some additional investments in that, and I don't know what the charter says, but he has to go back to them.
Yes. And if he should ever leave the company, for sure he could move the money to a self-directed IRA, and then he could do whatever he wanted to do with it. But we'd have to transfer it trustee to trustee to an IRA from a 401k.
In your son's 401k, now here's another wrinkle, and I've seen it. Some 401ks allow the employee to stay in the 401k and still roll out a portion or most or even all of it into an IRA, self-directed IRA, which he then can invest it any way that is approved by the government. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different options, whether it's a bank or a stockbroker.
Including real estate.
Yes, or real estate. There's so many different ways you can go. But in the 401k, it has limitations. So he has the questions. He should go back. One, can he get into gold or silver? Two, Can he roll out a portion of that and stay employed and still stay in the 401k? And if they match it, if they match it, any portion of it, you don't want to lose that ability.
I gotcha. Yeah, I didn't want to see him. The dollar is very tenuous as to its value and that type of thing. And I didn't know that much about paper gold. You know what I mean? Having paper that says you have gold. What do you think about that as a?
I think that's as solid as physical gold, and that's usually the only one. I say usually, it's not 100% rule, that is allowable in a tax deferred retirement plan, is not physical gold, because like Mike was saying, you could get a gold bar and now go sell it. Nobody would know because there's no record. If that physical bar was held by an approved custodian, that's usually paper, and the paper has physical gold backing up that paper.
You could invest, though, Joe, your hard currency, too, but not here necessarily in the U.S.
Yeah.
You could buy gold and silver outside of the plans.
Oh, outside.
Outside,
sure.
You can do whatever you want. Put it in a safe deposit box. But what I don't get, and I still don't understand, how you could possibly, if you're going to buy, somebody proposed this, that you could buy physical gold and have a trustee hold
right.
that gold
right.
for you.
Right.
Physical gold.
Yeah.
Well, that person would have to be licensed.
Yeah, they have to be approved by the government,
well,
et cetera,
and
et cetera.
I understand it's possible. I've not seen it physically, yeah. but I understand it's possible. But here again, it's the same thing as paper. Because when you have shares in gold that they're sitting on, here's these gold bars all sitting in a vault, and there's an approved custodian who issues paper shares, which is usually called a mutual fund or an ETF or something like that.
If it's a depository, Joe, they may just give you a certificate for your gold.
Yeah.
They don't have to give you a share of it.
It depends.
It depends on the arrangement.
It depends on the arrangement. But you're back. Go ahead, Alan.
I was just going to say, it also depends on some new things that have been out there for a while and probably are going to wind up being allowed in 401ks and IRAs. And IRAs are already allowed. There are tracking stocks that actually, to use gold as an example, that track the price of gold, and that's what changes the value
exactly.
of your investment.
Yep.
And how they work is this. Let's say that you want to buy 1 ounce of gold valued at $1,200,
right.
just to round it off. Well, instead of doing that, you call your broker and you say you want one share of this tracking stock,
right.
which tracks the price of gold. And what happens is when you put your $1,200 to the broker, the custodian of that stock must go out and physically buy 1,200 or an ounce of gold.
Sure.
To put in his inventory, and I haven't seen it in the 401ks, but they're all over the place in IRAs.
You can buy them all day long in an IRA or just
yeah.
as a standard shares. Here
right.
comes what most people think is paper, but the reality is they're backed up by this real commodity.
Have to be by the bylaws of of the entity.
Does that make?
You know that you're dealing with is not a charlatan.
Well, here's a relatively easy way. If you're dealing with a legitimate stockbroker who is part of SIPC and FINRA, and those designations are easy to check, and you can go on to the government website, which is FINRA, FINRA.org, and that tracks anybody that is securities licensed in any company. Very, very easy to find out who's legitimate and who's not. Very easy.
Okay, so you can buy gold. You don't have to outlay $10,000
no,
to buy gold.
No, no.
You could buy it at 1 ounce.
You can buy $500 worth in a mutual fund or an ETF exchange traded fund, which you own a share of that whole pie. Let's say the pie is worth $1 million, and you say, I want a tiny sliver of that pie. They give you shares in the pie, and the pie is backed up by $1 million worth of gold. So that's called an ETF or a mutual fund. And those things are highly regulated, highly regulated.
Yeah, but if you wanted to buy physical gold, like, you know, in small ingots or something like that, in case something happened to the economy and you needed some kind of a chip to barter with, How would you get your hands on that?
Well, there are people, and there are legitimate people that do sell gold. In fact, every day on the tube, you see they're selling gold coins.
Now, no, that's not what he's asking.
I know, but that's gold, but it's gold coins.
He's saying,
coins.
How does he redeem these certificates?
You go to Winn-Dixie with your gold bar, and you slice with a knife a little tiny sliver.
No, with your paper stock that's backed up by gold, how do you get that?
That's what he wants to know.
Gold?
How do you get the money? How do you get the gold out?
You don't.
See, I think a lot of people who invest in gold are concerned about these things.
Here's what happens. In order to cash in your shares, you own a share of this pie, but you can't take that actual piece of pie home. You're going to get a share, which is a piece of paper. But you can buy physical gold. There are people that sell physical gold, and you can buy a chunk of it. You can go down to the local pawnbroker and probably buy some gold because they buy gold.
Mm-hmm. How about in a self-directed IRA, though? Are you permitted to hold the physical gold?
No.
It has to be held
by the trustee. Otherwise, again, the same issue. Right. How do they know you don't take it and sell it?
Here's the only problem we've got with, and I understand people when they talk gold and silver, but you might as well talk copper because any commodity has a value, but who is going to buy it? In the event of a crash where the America goes out of business and you've got yourself $10,000 worth of gold in your hand, that gold has no value because it can't convert into a loaf of bread.
That may or may not be true. But here's the other thing, Joe. If there was ever, like you've seen in history,
right,
where they change the currency, devalue the currency,
right,
some people put their money into the gold so that whenever the currency then levels out and we get a new currency or whatever, they can take their deposits and convert at that point.
See,
because the gold holds its value at some
This is a amount. Constant thing with a currency devaluation. Mm-hmm. Like America and China are always arguing about their currency values.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the American dollar has been the benchmark for everything in all of this world, is what you buy. The American dollar is the gauge, the benchmark for
at
it.
At least up till now, historically.
Still.
But now there's challenges to the reserve status of the U.S. dollar.
Anyway, bottom line is, number one for your son is to talk to his 401k people and see if it's available. Two, if it's not, if he can roll a portion of that out into shares, which would be in a mutual fund held by a brokerage firm, which is then the custodian of that 401k, which is now going to be called an IRA.
Okay. I'm going to point him in that direction and see what he can find out. So thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime.
Well, thank you for calling.
That's a good question. Anytime. Thanks for calling. 1-888-221-8990. Now, I have heard, and I've not seen it happen, but we're physical gold. But I think what's happening is the same thing we're talking about. There might be a physical gold source, and they're still issuing shares and calling it physical gold, but you don't get to put it in your pocket.
Right. Absolutely right, Joe. There's a lot of ETF gold funds out there.
Tons
of
them.
Yeah. Or you're buying a percentage of a fund that supposedly is backed by gold.
You know, and if that 401k doesn't offer that type of an investment, they can also look into other alternatives like gold mines.
It may or may not be available. I've not seen those in a 401k either myself. I mean,
why wouldn't you be allowed to do that?
I would not that you're not allowed, but if it's not in the 401k program, 401ks normally have 10, 15, 20, maybe 25 options. Some of them have a mutual fund type of option, and that's what they get. So you have to go back to your company, your people that are in charge of that, and ask them that question. Because they're, you know, hey.
Well, if you're still employed with an employer, could you take that 401k, liquidate a portion of it, and put it in an IRA?
It depends on the provisions of the plan. I don't know. All plans are different.
That's right. Everyone's different.
It depends on the way the plan is written. Mm-hmm. So whether you could take a portion of it and put it somewhere else.
That's what I was saying to him, is to go back to his employer, go back to the IT people or whoever's doing it. There's probably a broker involved. And say, hey, can I roll a portion of this out tax-free into an IRA, a rollover, which means you don't put it in your pocket, there's no tax. But now instead of being a 401k, it's called an IRA.
Different rules, but
pretty close.
Yeah,
I would imagine most employers wouldn't allow that because
most have not, but they are some starting to do that, which, and I don't know why, but
well, because most of them have contracts with the broker-dealers and with the custodians. so that they want to maintain for the best pricing too. They want to keep that pool of dollars growing.
But there's also called golden handcuffs.
Yes, that's what I was
thinking. That's the other thing, sure.
Golden handcuffs, we call it this. You go to work for a company and they say, hey, we're going to match 5% of your pay, but if you ever want to leave us, you've got to be with us at least 5 years or 10 years or pick a number before you can collect that portion that we put in.
It's called vesting. You don't vest necessarily.
There's a psychological component here that I think we should talk about. People that generally buy gold and silver have a little bit of fear of what's going to possibly happen on the downside.
Of course.
And there's nothing wrong with having a percentage in your portfolio. As a matter of fact, that's smart to insulate yourself against that.
Mostly as a hedge, right, Alan?
But one of the things you have to look out for, and what I say to my clients, is when the media is going one way, either very optimistic or very fearful, go the other way. And we're seeing a prime example now because before the election, the media was basically be talking about one candidate, the market's going to crash if that person wins, while the other candidate, it's going to go way up. Well, the reverse happened. The candidate that they thought the market was going to crash won the election. And what did we have? We had 2 hours down on election day, and now we've had one of the best rallies that we've had in years.
Psychological stuff.
It's a boost from the election, basically.
So that is why what you're all talking about real estate, about 401ks, stocks, it's wise to have a diversified portfolio in everything you do, because then you've got all your bases covered.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Alan. And the benchmark there would be somewhere probably around 5% probably is safe if you want a whole hard current, a hard what's the word?
There's all kinds of rules and
opinions.
Silver,
gold, or that kind of thing. But you should have some of it there. I agree with you 100%.
There's also the one other thing that we've looked at. I've had a few calls, people wanting to buy gold and silver just a couple months ago. I haven't got any calls lately, because you ever notice when the prices are really high and are going up like crazy? That's when people want to buy, when it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and invariably all their friends are happy. Everybody's happy with it, and it becomes too late. It's like Warren Buffett's rule. When everybody's depressed, time to buy. When everybody's excited, time to get out.
Yeah. Hey, with the higher interest rates that are coming out over the last few weeks, how's that been affecting these exchange-traded debts?
Well, it's interesting. Some of the debt instruments have gone down a bit. Some of them have gone up a bit, which I'm having a hard time calculating and correlating. Because normally when interest rates go up, the value of fixed instruments go down.
Mm-hmm.
But on the stand, some are more tradable than others, and they seem to have not had that major hit. I've got two or three right now that are still, quote, above par. Let me take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes. Good afternoon. My name is Dee, and I live in Palm City, and I'm 75 years old. My daughter is up north in New Jersey, and she wants to buy insurance. Since I'm getting up, she wants to buy insurance for my burial. Should she buy burial or should she buy life insurance?
It's all life insurance. That's really what it is. And what happens is this: you're 75 years old. Are you in good health?
I'm in good health. If you see me, you think I'm about 50. Everybody thinks I'm about 50. I moved to Palm City right now, so if you want next Wednesday, I can just take a ride there and you can look.
We're around the corner from you if you're in Palm City. But
I know. I see the building.
I know. Let me do this. Did you give your name and phone number to whoever answered the phone?
Yes, I gave her my name and phone number.
I'm going to call you back tomorrow, and we'll take some information, and we'll see what life insurance can cost, and then we can talk to your daughter and see if she's happy with that, and we'll make sure you have a really big funeral.
I wonder if the insurance company, the fact that she looks 50, Joe, will they give her an underwriting based on that?
Okay, here's the question. Do you dye your hair? No. Don't answer any of this.
Yes, I do, but I'm not really all white. I mean, for my age, I should be all white, but I'm not.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you Italian?
No,
I'm Spanish. Spanish. Okay, that's close enough. That's only two countries over.
Oh, yeah, Latin, right?
I'm picking on you. I'm picking on you a little bit. Let it sit. I'm going to call you back, and we'll ask you some questions off the air, and we'll find out what it cost for, and then we can talk to your daughter to see if she wants to do that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
She was cute.
Not that I pick on everybody, but I usually don't discriminate at all.
99.9.
But, and you know, here's a subject that Mike brought up, exchange-traded debt. Debt instruments are not common stock, and they're paying 5 and 6% interest, and the share prices don't change a whole bunch just like common stock does because you don't own the company. But when interest rates go up, sometimes these things take a little bit because their values, when other things are there, can change them. On the other hand, talk about a variable annuity, which says, hey, we can put you in the market, and the market goes up and down. But on the other hand, the insurance companies very often come up and say, hey, we're going to guarantee you a 5 or 6% income rate. We're going to guarantee you a 5 or 6% death rate, no matter what. So you can have your cake and eat it, too. That's the good news. Bad news is the insurance company makes money. Can you believe that?
Wow.
They're going to charge
here for a purpose.
It's
an outrageous thing.
But the key is this. When you take a person, let's say it's in their 60s or 70s or late 50s, that's getting ready for retirement, oftentimes knowing they're going to have this guaranteed income based on that insurance company, based on how good that company is, I'm supposed to say that, you know,
disclosures.
The key thing,
caveats.
It's one of those things to look at in a comparison to being in the market or being into other instruments. 1-888-221-8990.
You still got about seven minutes.
I've not heard of being called burial insurance for a good while. Have you heard that?
Burial insurance. No, I've heard for your funeral expenses. I mean, you see the commercials.
But
it's all
the same thing.
Yeah, of course.
I have a client
of
mine.
That's a prepaid, right?
No, you can actually pay a premium on a month-to-month.
You're probably better off just doing a prepaid, aren't you?
If you have the money. Sometimes they don't have the money.
Well, you might have to write a check for $5,000 to get $50,000 worth, or $20,000 or $10,000.
Usually they're doing it because they don't have the money for their burial.
Oh.
So what I'm trying to say is when her daughter wants to pay for her funeral, she's saying, hey, Mom, you're 75 years old. If you drop dead tomorrow, I don't have the money to bury you.
Right.
So let's buy insurance. Well, fine. Insurance when you're 75 is not as cheap as when you're 50. Mm-hmm. And if your health...
Unless you look 50.
If you dye your hair and you're Italian.
You're bad.
Or Spanish.
It's just two countries over.
She was picking on the Polish people this morning.
Oh, that's true.
Really?
That's true.
Yeah, you can't pick on everybody. You're an equal opportunity abuser.
You know, Dan and I, the Polish and Russian blood, you know, just starts jumping out every once in a while. So
I got you. We got a call coming in here. I hear it.
No, they're calling.
Out there.
They're calling the
radio.
It's
out there.
But hey, Tom's out there working.
I'm sitting at the Pastor Tom's.
You don't know how
console,
to answer, how to do anything.
Here. But I feel like Captain Kirk with all these.
I know all these dials and slides.
Just ahead. Don't take off. Mike.
That's it.
Don't press a button.
I hate
and you eject.
You're not as good looking as Captain.
No,
Kirk.
No, I know what.
Warp speed, please.
Warp speed. Okay. Beam me up, Scotty.
Beam me.
I might take us off the air.
Get me on a beamer.
Hey, okay, we'll take a beamer.
Yeah, not that kind. Jeff.
Can I have the 650 convertible?
I knew what he was talking about. I said not that kind.
I think they may have used some of this equipment on the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah.
Enterprise. This came from the original studio.
Now listen, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you call 1-888-221-8990 and you talk to Pastor Tom or to Karen or Bob
or Bill.
Dave. We changed his name because we can't remember it. Anyway,
he's new.
They'll take your name and number. They'll take your name and number.
Baptize him, Dave.
And we'll get back to you. And now, let me tell you another thing. If we don't get back to you, I have a whip that I carry. You know, and I've had to run chase Mike down a couple of times.
Are you a majority or minority?
Yes.
Yeah, but we got to get our messages too.
Got to get
our because the holidays we ran a little behind.
Yeah, 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
That's what he just waved.
Do we have a card telling us four?
Yeah, he's got a flash card
but,
there.
But he's not holding it up straight.
Yes, he just
we need
did.
A caller in that 4 minutes.
Vince, I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Some people are wondering at the end of the year about the possibility of tax law changes next year.
Yes.
Don't you think it's a mistake for them to wait and speculate on what may happen rather than taking tax benefits now that are for sure?
Well, the prudent man says they shouldn't wait. It's like the old bird in the hands word
bird in the hand,
bush.
Right.
You know, I take the benefits as they are. Don't, you know, and don't let your decisions be driven by taxes anyway.
Yeah.
If it makes sense, then do it.
That's everything Period. In life.
Well, you're already saying the government is doing something now, allowing people to.
Well, I had a whole bunch of things I was going to talk about, but we ran out of time.
What happened?
We ran out of time.
You got a long sheet there.
I got 3 pages of tax potential tax changes that'll affect.
Oh, you just can't do it in 3 minutes?
No.
You can't.
Can you do one in 3 minutes?
Oh, I could do. Well, one of them is, you know, Trump's got a whole, President-elect Trump has a bunch of proposals out there. Whether they'll all come to fruition, who knows? But one of them is this $500,000 that we were talking about for a write-off of equipment. He wants to raise it to $1 million. He also
That's
wants,
fair.
He what he wants to do also is drop the rate of taxes on businesses. Well, this is going to be a boom. From 35% max tax on business down to 15%.
Right.
Now, that can affect all people in business,
even,
including small business owners.
Even
That's
Ryan.
Perfect.
Which a lot of them, as you know, they have pass-through entities that they do their business in, LLCs or S-corps or partnerships. So that income flows
that
down to them.
But if it's an S-corps and C-corps or just
No, S-corps. Well, the C-corps, too. They're going to drop the rate.
C-corps you're taxed on
but
your personal
But you can't
tax.
Do that on an S or
no,
LLC.
Well, let me clear the air on that. A C-corp, they pay their own taxes. C-corporations pay taxes.
They
and that's
pay,
what he's referring
and
to.
And he's referring to dropping their rate, but also, he's talking about dropping a rate on all business income,
okay.
Including S-corps, LLCs.
But doesn't S-corp income pass through as ordinary income?
Right now, it's all ordinary tax, whatever rate you're at, whatever your personal rate is at.
Right.
But
so
like capital gains,
you could change the personal rate down to 15?
He could cap the rate on that income down to 15, just like we have capital gain.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
That would be very exciting.
And I think that's great because there's other countries that
are
help
we,
people with
Are we running
their
out of
businesses.
Time, Tom?
Yeah. Well, let's say
you
make
running out of time.
$500,000. So you're very successful. You're in a 39.6% bracket.
Is that called successful? $500,000?
Well,
I never know when
successful.
People say
if you're living in Manhattan, no.
Right.
I know because you know everybody says that
but
something's a lot of money. I don't know
what's a lot
of money. But if
you're living in Port St. Lucie, it's
everything
yes.
Everything is relative, of course.
Yeah.
If you live like Joe says, if you live in Manhattan, maybe that's not a lot of money. If you live in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Tennessee, it's probably a lot
Big
of money.
Big money. And hey, in Port St. Lucie, it's not so bad either.
Yeah, right, exactly.
When the average income is $35,000 a year, you know, that's
Well,
pretty
I use that as a benchmark, but just because
you
that's
do.
The, that's
so
the
you
threshold, $500,000,
yes.
you're
to
at
say
a 39.6%.
We are now winding down to the last few seconds.
You could be
seconds.
Down to 15.
You could be to 15.
Are we down to 15 seconds yet?
Wouldn't
We're
that
down.
Be great?
It'll be a boom.
Oh, it'll be great. We need it. That's what's going to stir the economy.
Exactly.
All right, folks. Hey, listen. We've had a good time. We had some good.
Oh, we got
we're
back.
Still
wait a minute.
We
wait a minute. You were showing me 30 seconds ago.
No, I was holding the card.
He's got you're holding it over here on the edge.
Oh.
Folks, we're running out of time. We're
next
getting
time.
It. We're getting next time. Well, keep that up. Let's talk
yeah,
about
start
that.
Start talking about it in the beginning. Don't let Joe talk.
Well, Joe, you know when he takes
well,
over.
I just said
he
don't
takes
let him
over
talk.
The whole show.
Who's doing all the talking now? We got this. We got this short Italian here.
That's right. It's the Joe Martek hour.
Folks, until next week, thank you so much for talking. In spite of these people that are talking too much when I'm supposed to be talking, don't listen to them.
Yes, you will.
Bye. You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.